Okay, I'm here at the train station in Utrecht, Utrecht Central, and I just found my train, which is leaving in just a few minutes, so I'm gonna go downstairs now and hop on the train. I'm feeling a little excited, a little nervous making this happen, but first I'll get on the train and see what comes next.
You're listening to the Start With Your Name podcast. I'm your host, Lee Kaplan. I became an immigrant in 2020 when I moved from Brooklyn, New York to my new home in the Netherlands. With every episode of this podcast, immigrants, refugees, and asylum seekers will have an opportunity to share their story. And we will have an opportunity to listen. Just to listen. And perhaps gain new insights into what it's like to leave everything behind and start all over again. Each episode is an exploration of someone's lived experience, their background, their hopes and dreams, and the story of what brought them to a new country far from home. And that begins, quite simply, with their name. Today's episode, Muhammad.
I've arrived at the station. Now I'm just gonna go find Muhammad. Hey.
Muhammad is a vibrant 23-year-old Egyptian young man teeming with energy and excitement as we meet up in the train station cafe. He and I first met back on International Refugee Day in June 2023 at an event for refugees and locals to meet and talk. That day, Muhammad was just sitting at a table with friends and I approached. Today, Muhammad suggests we walk from the train station through the city center to his apartment.
It's not warm out here right now.
I think it's -2 today.
It's -2 Celsius, so I'm feeling it in my hands. But it's a big change from where you come from.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when I the last day in Doha when I was in Hamad Airport, yeah. It was like 23. Yeah, and when I arrived here to Schiphol to Amsterdam Airport, yeah. It was -5. Yeah. The coldest temperature in Qatar history was 11. So actually, there's no winter in Qatar.
You heard him mention his time in Qatar, and we'll get to that. After a brisk 15-minute walk, we arrive at Muhammad's apartment building. The building is populated with immigrants and refugees, mostly under the age of 25. As we near the entrance, I spot his name on the buzzer panel beside the door.
Oh, thanks, man. This says Muhammad Ali on there. Is that's you? Is it safe to say that you're the only Muhammad here in the neighborhood?
No, I have a neighbor. His name is Muhammad as well. Yeah.
Yep, his name is Muhammad Ali. Once we get settled inside his apartment, I ask the obvious question.
Did anybody ever point out to you the significance of the name Muhammad Ali?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, most of the people say that. When I came here, I started to go, oh, Muhammad Ali. I said, oh my God, here we are again.
Turns out, Egyptians treat names very differently than what Westerners are accustomed to. Egyptian kids are given up to 5 names at birth. Their first name is followed by their father's name, then their grandfather's name, and so on, up to 5 names. This is true for both boys and girls. Muhammad's second name is Salah, his dad's first name.
In Egypt, we don't have a family name, we have a father name. My father has a different last name than mine. If he came here to Netherlands, we will not be one family, because here I am Muhammad Ali, and here will be something else. Even in a school, there is a 10 Muhammad in the class. So,
right, so
if she said Muhammad, like everyone, yes? So right. He starts saying Muhammad Salah, Muhammad Ahmad, Muhammad Abdullah, Muhammad. It depends on the father name. Even in Qatar, they say Muhammad Salah, Muhammad Salah. So I start to figure out who is Ali. Who is Ali? I don't know. When I asked for asylum here in Schiphol Airport, they was like I was in a waiting room, and then they wanted to take me to another place to start my procedure. So it's like, hey, Muhammad Ali, Muhammad Ali, Muhammad Ali. And like, I don't know. There's a lot of people in the room, and I never thought that maybe I am the Muhammad Ali. Because I thought, yeah, my name is Muhammad Salah. I don't know who is Muhammad Ali. And even I was looking with them, like, where is Muhammad Ali? Maybe he's in the toilet. And they're like, you are Muhammad Ali. So like, am I Muhammad Ali? I don't know. Nobody told me that.
Our discussion about his name inspires Muhammad to show me a beautiful hand-woven Egyptian art piece that features his name as written in the old Egyptian. A second piece depicts Giza, the city of his birth.
I did it actually after I came here, like someone who was coming from Egypt, so I said like, hey, could you bring it with you? So yeah, there's a people that they do it handmade in Egypt, and they like do some kind of art, and this is part of our history. Yeah, it's amazing, I love it.
Muhammad describes his childhood in Egypt as normal, full of study and playtime, despite growing up in a country ruled by a dictator. That all changed in January 2011, at the start of what would become the Arab Spring, a revolution deposed the Egyptian dictator that had ruled the country for 30 years. Muhammad tells me about a growing sense of empowerment in the country after decades of dictatorial rule.
I opened my eyes in 2011. From this day, like everyone in Egypt started to talk about politics, started to have dreams, our future. You start to feel this is your country because, yeah, after 30 years of arresting people, of killing people, no freedom, nothing at all. So you start to feel like you are a guest here. It's not your country. So 2011, we start to feel that Egypt's our country. We own it. We have the ability to take a decision to change things that we couldn't in the past.
It's amazing that you use the phrase, I opened my eyes.
Yeah, exactly, because it was like literally, I was a kid, and when I start to understand things around me, I found the revolution. So it was like literally opened my eyes.
The first free and fair elections in the country's history happened the following year in 2012. But those freedoms only lasted a year before a new military coup in 2013 derailed hopes for a democratic Egypt. Muhammad tells me about how his parents encouraged him and others of his generation to resist the coup, so as not to have to live through yet another dictatorship.
They was pushing us, yes, you can say your opinion, you have to have a political opinion. It doesn't matter from which side, or left or wing, Islamic or not, but have an opinion and talk about opinion.
That sense of resistance fell victim to the country's new dictator, and the consequences for Muhammad and his family were dire and immediate.
Yeah, actually my family had a long history and involvement in a human rights organization and demonstration. My father got arrested in 2014. They arrested him for a period of time, and then he got his release because he had an heart attack in the prison. So he got his release, and he traveled to Qatar, of course. Illegal. You have to pay money for a police officer because our name's in the airport, so you can just book a ticket and travel. So you have to pay money for police officers or some kind of that.
So you're saying that your names were on record.
Yeah.
So if you had just gone to the airport and tried to leave, you would have gotten in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
Does that also mean that you would have gotten in trouble because he was your father?
Yeah, because of my father and my cousins. So they know the family, and they know my father very well. And actually, they wanted to arrest me to, you know, some kind of pressure on him, or to use me for some kind of that. So it's not specifically about me, more than being son of Salah. Yeah. Salah Nasr, yeah, my father.
Son of Salah.
Yeah, exactly. And this is how the situation goes in Egypt. When he left, he started to find a way to take me out of Egypt.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't have a passport, because I was young and I didn't travel.
Yeah.
So I started to make a passport and to be ready for the moment when he can find a way for me to take me to Qatar, because he was living in Qatar this time, until after 9 months, he finally found a way that I can live in Qatar.
So you you are a teenager.
Yeah, exactly.
And you are having to deal with the reality that you would have to leave your geboorteland, your home country, and never go back.
Exactly. And actually, it was very hard for me in this time because, you know, you have different feelings. Part of you, like, happy of finally I'm being safe. I can see my father. I can continue my school normally, but in another hand, you feel sad because I didn't know when I can see my mother or my sisters again. I'm leaving them, yeah, my friends, my school, my my town, every place or everyone I know. You have no idea. Okay. How long it will take? It will take like a year, two, three. At this moment, it was very hard to me. So, especially in this young age, yeah, the good thing that my father was in Qatar, so I wasn't there alone.
What was it like getting out of the country?
You know that your name listed on the airport, they maybe arrest you, but you have to find like someone to pay him money so he will like handle this situation and like let you pass to the airplane. So for me, I was afraid, okay, what if this one didn't do that, okay, couldn't do it, until the last moment. I was like, even when I sit in the airplane and but we're still in the ground, we're still in Egypt. So I was like worried, and my heartbeats go so fast until it's we started to fly. Then it was like, for a moment I started, okay, take all the pressure, all the stress off, and start to think what will wait me in Qatar. How is Qatar, how the life there? And at the same time, when you look, from the window to Egypt, and this is the, I'm leaving home. And as I said, I don't know when I will be able to back again.
Stay with us.
Do you remember what it was like on the day when you finally saw your dad again in Qatar?
Yeah, it was like finally, you know, like after 9 months. And before that, he was arrested and he had a heart attack and had to do operation, all those things. So we had a moment finally after almost a year of suffering, a moment that we could be happy and we don't have to think about anything. We just like enjoy the moment without being worried about anything. So it was fascinating. It was amazing. There is no words can describe the feeling after a year of moving from here to there and being afraid of going here or going there or being late outside because I don't want any police officer or anyone ask me about papers or anything because they will know who I am and I will be arrested. Every time a police car or police officer walks around, your heartbeat goes very fast. I was not even able to see my sister and my mother easy in this period of time because we was afraid maybe they follow them or they record calls or those things, you know. So, after a terrible year, we finally met in a safe country, safe place.
Mohammed spent a total of 5 years living in Qatar, first with his father and joined 2 years later by his mother and sisters.
In Qatar, things was a bit easier because, you know, it's a Arabian country. There is no huge differences between cultures, same religion.
I know how it feels for me to be far from home. And once again, I feel sort of like really quite emotionally touched by the things you're saying and the danger involved. You know, I mean, I have to take a pretty long flight back to New York or Florida or wherever I happen to be visiting my friends or family. But I'm not ever under police suspicion. I don't live under fear of being arrested. I don't know what that is like.
Yeah, and I pray you don't. Wherever how much I try to describe it, but no one can never understand it. The same as the people that they came from war or for Syrian people or Afghan, Yemen. I have a lot of friends of Syria or Yemen, especially because they are Arab country, we speak the same language. But it doesn't matter how much they describe the things. For me, I cannot imagine it. I cannot believe it. For me, is it just a movie, you know?
So you knew that you had a limited amount of time to stay in Qatar before you would have to leave there.
Yeah.
And you knew you couldn't go back to Egypt.
When I left Qatar, like part of me say like, okay, this will not stay a lot, like a couple of years and everything will change and we will have our way to change this government and take back our freedom, you know? So year by year, and you know, like the more people being arrested, we have in Egyptian 100,000 prisoner in the Egyptian prison, political.
And that could have been you.
So yeah, of course it's updated every day. I thought that okay, we will not reach 2022 in the same situation.
So there you are in Qatar, and you know you're on a limited timeline, and you're realizing that things in Egypt are not improving.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to figure out with your family where you're going to go. I'm just so curious to know how you were feeling when you were still with your family in Qatar, knowing that you had to leave again.
It was a bit hard because they just came, like almost, we stayed together like 2 years. So like finally, after a long time, everyone lives in his own. We are in a one home together after a long time. And now, I know that I have to leave. I try to just put all my attention to the moment and enjoy it before I leave. But still, like, everyone try to hide his sadness and try to smile and try to, yeah, let's enjoy it. Just don't think about it. But you can see the eyes talks, and you can see in everyone in his eyes he trying to smile and try to love and try to make fun, but no, actually he feels sad. So yeah, we tried, but you know, sooner or later I had to leave. I had no other choices, and that's what I did. I left. Yeah, I had to take another nationality so I can continue or go on in my life. And I have to pay something instead. So I had to leave my family, and I had to leave my life again in Qatar.
But why is it that your family is still in Qatar, but you're not?
Because my passport is over, so, and I cannot renew it. My father still have time in his passport.
And then what about the passports of your mother and your sisters?
They still have time. They can renew it, hardly, but they can. I think I can show you my passport is over there.
Yeah.
Mohammed reaches for his Egyptian passport, which is displayed prominently on a shelf just under the art pieces we were admiring earlier. The passport is a dark green color with the words Arab Republic of Egypt printed on the front.
This is the last thing proof that I'm Egyptian. I cannot renew it anymore.
Your date of birth is 2001, and it was issued in 2015, expired 2022, and you can no longer renew this.
I cannot. So that's why I had to come here to Netherlands and ask for asylum.
Mohammed's story continues in episode 2. Here's a preview.
When I came here, I had no idea, literally no idea about anything in Netherlands. All I knew is where Netherlands on the map, and the capital city is Amsterdam.